It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Industrialized, militarized civilization, like a vulture, picks over the bones of a dying planet. The collapse of polar ice due to our crack-like addiction to carbon opens up new, quote, opportunities for capitalism to exploit. They aren't just going to fry the planet, they're obsessed with nuking it. That statement from a website, Nuclear Genocide, my thanks to them for that very accurate perspective. How many have seen the most recent military-industrial complex recruiting commercials? These commercials clearly demonstrate the unbridled insanity that is increasingly taking hold in our society. Images of helicopters, tanks, and Humvees all blitzkrieging across an open plain with machine guns blazing, shooting everything in their path. What's the motto of the military ad? Here it is. It states, we need, quote, warriors. No, here's the truth. The ad is for recruiting paid mercenaries for a completely out of control and desperate dying empire. The death of George H.W. Bush, honored like a saint, the former president of the empire, an instigator of unbridled civilian slaughter in the Middle East. And for those that still believe Gulf War I was about freedom and democracy, please, or Gulf War II, or any of the long list of other wars of aggression, please do some actual investigation. In the case of Gulf War I under George H.W. Bush, Saddam Hussein, originally armed with weapons from the U.S., including biologicals, was baited into invading Kuwait. All part of the plan. Business as usual. And what about Granddad Bush, Prescott? How many know that Prescott Bush was part of a banking cartel that funded the Nazis? Also a Skull and Bones member like his son and his son's son. The family legacy, fuel and fund global carnage on behalf of the empire. What I've mentioned is only a small sample of the Bush family crimes, and now deceased, worshiped like a saint. That's the twisted world we find ourselves in, and it would be no different or no less hypocritical or wrong if such a ceremony was carried out for a deceased Obama scenario or Clinton. All of them are criminals. All of them part of the power structure, just as the current administration is as well. There are numerous breaking frontline headlines in this broadcast that I will cover. Stay tuned. But first, are some points I feel compelled to cover. Here's a question. How many have seen Saving Private Ryan? How many that watched that movie relished at the perceived bad guys in the film being killed, the Germans? How many stopped to consider that the German soldiers were also human beings with families that were only fighting because of the same kind of programming and propaganda that makes Americans now so willing to fight for their empire? How many have seen the film Thin Red Line, a much deeper film than Saving Private Ryan, with a critical message, a film I would highly recommend? But this film was purposely eclipsed by the release of Saving Private Ryan, which, as a tool of those in power, was much more benefit to them, much more benefit to the military-industrial complex objective. For the record, I've always respected and regarded the personal motives of our soldiers. I've worked as a volunteer rehabbing horribly crippled Vietnam veterans, which was absolutely heartbreaking to me. I've donated to VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and DAV, Disabled American Veterans, for decades. But the personal motives of individuals does not erase the murderous objectives of those who create the wars. Individuals like the Bushes, the Clintons, Mr. Obama, and the current occupant of the White House, all actors in the power structure play. In so many cases, the U.S. so-called war on terror is actually a war of terror. This unbridled military aggression the pursuit of acquiring resources and expanding the empire was fully launched immediately after the 9/11 false flag event, that the majority of Americans are still sadly unwilling to face the truth about. Willfully blind, false patriotism rules the day. What's the most recent example of unbridled aggression in the quest for resources? Syria, another country demonized and decimated to gain the resources necessary for continued maintenance and expansion of the empire, all the while the planet is dying. Syria, who is actually fighting ISIS terrorists, which have been repeatedly armed and funded by the U.S. Now connect this part of the equation from globalresearch.ca. Here's the headline report. How the U.S. has illegally occupied 30% of Syria, containing most of its oil, water, and gas. Is that just a coincidence? Who could believe that? Who could possibly believe that? How can this whole scenario I'm describing not be seen for what it is? It's because the lie feels too good. The endless, and actually about to end, fossil fuel fiesta. So many want to cling to that. And they won't let go. No matter how critical our situation becomes, so few are mesmerized by the orchestrated delusion. They do not want to face reality, but face reality we will soon. We can face it well or face it poorly, but face it we will. It's already unfolding. So about Syria. While gaining control of key resources and destabilizing the government in Damascus, the U.S.'s main goal in occupying the oil and water-rich northeastern Syria is aimed not at Syria, but at Iran. Yes, Iran, a country that is currently in the crosshairs of the empire. As I've covered in previous broadcasts, current national security advisor for the empire, and by the way, a verifiable war criminal, John Bolton, has stated on film and on the record that the U.S. would, quote, occupy Iran by 2019. He said very arrogantly on film, "See you in Tehran in 2019, with a room full of cheering people who, as I just covered, care only about their personal paradigm, not about morality, not about the state of the planet, not about the future of their children, but only their own personal pursuit of resources, wealth, and certainly pleasure." Question: how many Americans continue to stand by and ignore the gross injustices being carried out in their name? How many are willing to continue ignoring any and all injustices so long as those injustices facilitate the continuance of their personal paradigm? The moment the grand illusion of industrialized, militarized society cannot be maintained, formerly asleep at the wheel populations will be forced to wake up and face reality. And when the populations panic, our paradigm will shatter into a million pieces. It will come with blinding speed. And I would argue, based on all frontline data, we are perilously close to that point. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for December 8th, 2018. This is a commercial-free program, as always, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, and now rebroadcast on Sunday mornings from 6 to 7 as well. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. Our only goal is to sound the alarm. And again, I stress, we don't have the time, manpower, or resources to make all these connections. We need people to help us carry the baton forward. If a station can be briefed on our program, previewed on it, and is willing to pick it up and utilize our broadcast, which is very easy for them because they're commercial-free, 55-minute news hours, very easy to plug in, we would absolutely make the show available. Again, for free. Only goal is to alert the population to what's unfolding. If you're in the Reading area, free geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Gym Fair. This week's Gym Fair event, staunch ally of the fight to expose and halt geoengineering. A geoengineeringwatch.org booth is there, staffed, and with free materials so that you can help us to sound the alarm. You can get into the event free if you state you're there to pick up those materials to help with our effort. Started yesterday, ends tomorrow, Santa Barbara, California, at the Earl Warren Showgrounds next week from December 14th through the 16th at the Scottish Rite Event Center. Please help Jim Fair to help expose the climate engineering insanity. Attend the event if you can. Pick up free materials. Help us to sound the alarm. Moving on. How's the economy doing? Not so well. For those that are still buying into the power structure pushed Ponzi scheme of perpetual expansion on a finite planet with finite resources, here's a new headline to consider from multiple sources. Ford to announce 25,000 job cuts. Report from Morgan Stanley. Two more economic headlines as examples to consider. These are only examples. There are many, many more. I could do hours and hours and hours on the false economy that's now breaking down. But here's two new headlines to consider. Asia's outlook darkens as factory activity slips, new orders fall. And this, Dow plunges nearly 800 points on rising fears of economic slowdown. For those that don't yet understand, the entire stock market is and always has been a giant pyramid scheme to pacify the population, and the pyramid scheme is breaking down rapidly. Let's not forget the coming 15,000 job cuts from GM that I covered in last week's broadcast. And to be clear, this is only the beginning. I've stated over and over, as the biosphere collapses, industrialized, militarized society must follow. Here's a question many ask. If things are so bad, why is, for example, junk food still so cheap? Consider this. Just as those in power heavily subsidize the fossil fuel industry in order to pacify populations with abundant energy, the junk food industry, which includes many forms of so-called fast foods, is also heavily subsidized in many ways. Please don't believe me. Please actually investigate. Why would the power structure do this? Cheap, fast junk food also pacifies populations along with making them less healthy, less cognitively functional, and easier to control. On the subject of population control, all are advised to keep their eyes on the 5G rollout. More on that later in this broadcast. And, as always, eyes to the skies on the continued highly toxic fallout from climate engineering, fallout which could be made much more toxic at any point of the power structure's choosing. This is a form of biological warfare in addition to weather warfare. Make no mistake about that. Continuing from Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former cabinet member for President Reagan, this new report titled "The Disintegration of Western Society." From that report, in the United States today and throughout the, quote, Western brainwashed civilization, only a handful of people exist who are capable of differentiating the real from the created reality in which all explanations are controlled and kept as far away from the truth as possible. Everything that every Western government and, quote, news organization says is a lie to control the explanations that we are fed in order to keep us locked in the matrix. The ability to control people's understanding is so extraordinary that despite massive evidence to the contrary, Americans still believe that Oswald, acting alone, was the best shot in human history and using magic bullets killed President John F. Kennedy. Americans believe that a handful of Saudi Arabians who demonstratively could not fly airplanes unwitted the American national security state and brought down three World Trade Center skyscrapers and part of the Pentagon. Americans believe that Saddam Hussein had and was going to use on the U.S. weapons of mass destruction, quote, that Assad, quote, used chemical weapons against his own people. Americans believe that, quote, Libya's Gaddafi gave his soldiers Viagra so they could better rape the Libyan women. Americans believe that Russia, quote, invaded Ukraine. Americans believe that Trump and Putin stole the presidential election from Hillary. How many lies will Americans choose to believe, and for how long? Americans believe, this is coming from me, that our government would never engineer the climate with toxic materials. What an unbelievably naive notion. Again and again, I have covered historical fact, verifiable for anyone who researches, the amount of biological testing our government and military has already conducted on U.S. civilians, a matter of historical record. Hundreds of tests. Hundreds. Innocent U.S. civilians. How many examples do we need of our soldiers being used for cannon fodder? Told to go watch the nuclear bomb go off with a set of goggles. I've covered this over and over. Depleted uranium used on our soldiers in the Middle East. They were not told about this. The experimentation with vaccines that go on with our soldiers and with their populations, with vaccine companies that are immune from any and all liability, no matter how many they kill. These dots are not hard to connect. They're not hard to connect. Final statement from Dr. Roberts' report. The construction of a make-believe reality guarantees the U.S. military security complex's annual budget of $1,000 billion of taxpayer money. And let's remember that the central bankers can print whatever they want for whatever they want. Pentagon missing $20 to $30 trillion since the 90s that we know of. In addition to the report I just covered from the courageous Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, I want to highly recommend reading a recent article from another extremely courageous voice of truth, former U.S. presidential candidate Dr. Chuck Baldwin. The article title is, quote, "He Blew It." Very worth reading article. I just interviewed Dr. Baldwin. That interview can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org. Moving on to yet more critical issues. Is the 5G push yet another sign of government desperation to prepare for controlling panicked populations when environmental and societal collapse can no longer be hidden? Consider these recent headlines on the subject from the UK Daily Mail. The rollout of 5G wireless service is a, quote, massive health experiment. From numerous sources, this report, scientists warn of potential serious health effects of 5G. I've already stated again, this is a matter of record. Please investigate 5G frequencies used by the U.S. military for crowd control. These are very dangerous frequencies on top of already dangerous frequencies that we're exposed to. Here's more on the subject. Another headline, a massive health experiment on all species. Quote, public expert issues dire warning on health dangers of 5G towers. Dr. Joel Moskowitz of the University of California, Berkeley said this, quote, the deployment of 5G or fifth generation cellular technology constitutes a massive experiment on the health of all species, end quote. The report continues, the 5G towers will begin transmitting cell phone signals in high band, quote, millimeter wave frequencies, which, quote, may affect the eyes and the testes and the skin, the peripheral nervous system and sweat glands. The expert from University of California stated, these waves are predominantly absorbed by the skin, he continued, or through the central nervous system. This is utter insanity, and the population is going about their lives as if nothing matters. We are plunging headlong toward total collapse. Preparations are being made by a power structure that is unimaginably desperate, and populations that still can't see that are being willfully blind. It's up to those of us that are awake to wake others. And that must be done effectively and efficiently by passing on credible data, not ranting and raving. That doesn't help. Now let's consider another recent report from National Geographic and other sources. Strange waves rippled around the world and nobody knows why. From that report, instruments picked up the seismic waves more than 10,000 miles away, but bizarrely, nobody felt them. These waves didn't just zip by. They rang for more than 20 minutes, and yet it seems no human felt them. I don't think I've seen anything like it, said a seismologist at Columbia University who specializes in unusual earthquakes. Helen Robinson, a PhD candidate in applied volcanology at the University of Glasgow, said this, they're too nice. They're too perfect to be nature. Although she quickly adds that an industrial source is impossible because no known source is in the region. Denial, denial, denial. There is so much going on with radio frequency microwave transmission that it's a wonder anything's alive on our planet. And all the while, the population, especially in first world countries, is going about their lives as if nothing is wrong, which could not be further from the truth. Moving on. The latest engineered so-called winter weather event is being carried out by the increasingly desperate climate engineering weather terrorists. This event was theatrically named Winter Storm Diego. If you don't watch the Weather Channel, try it and see their spineless paid liars try to explain away the engineered winter events as if they are natural. The Weather Channel paid actors are truly a sight to see. As of yesterday, the winter weather makers seem to be losing ground in their attempt to engineer so-called Winter Storm Diego. The warm flows of moisture straight off the record-warm Gulf of Mexico were overwhelming the geoengineering jet aircraft bombardment of chemical ice-nucleating elements. These are patented elements, by the way. Those patents can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org. The Weather Channel paid deceivers, due to their failed forecasts, continued to use scripted words like tricky and complicated in regard to their failed predictions of the scheduled engineered weather, although they are still, it appears, trying to create a few pockets of snow so they can generate the headlines they need to confuse and divide the population as to the true state of the climate, one of the key core goals of climate engineering. The power structure and their weather maker minions feel that they have the right to decide where it rains and where it won't, if it will snow or not, and how toxic all of the above will be. Question, who gave them that right? The longer the majority of the masses remain willfully blind and complacent, the more certain near-term planetary omnicide becomes. If you want to see proof of geoengineering operations creating a completely engineered winter weather event that just occurred in Atlantic City, which was captured on radar, clearly showing far above freezing temperature bands of rain suddenly flashing out to frozen from jet aircraft dispersions of patented chemical ice-nucleating elements, check the recent or top stories sections on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for a 5-minute video report that we just posted. Better yet, review the entire engineered winter section on the top of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. On so many days now in Northern California and elsewhere, there's no sun, no wind, and no rain. And now to clarify, I'm not stating absolutes. Of course not. Sun, wind, and rain, often in record extremes, are obviously present in countless regions as well. What I'm stating is that there are very unnatural conditions, which are increasingly the norm. Few are bothering to notice. On the mountaintop in Northern California, where I live, 15 years ago, storms came with a fury, sustained winds of up to 100 miles an hour, snapping trees off 10 feet up the trunk, 12 to 18-inch trees. Deluges of rain would fall with frequency in winter and spring. Very defined cloud formations would race by overhead, and satellite radar images were very clear of these spun counterclockwise low-pressure systems that were coming in from the Pacific off the U.S. West Coast. Now, all is different. Drifting masses of featureless cloud canopies migrate overhead, all too often with no rain, no wind, and no sun. These are, of course, not historically normal conditions for Northern California. My mountaintop home has all three forms of renewable energy, solar, wind, and hydropower. In recent years, my ability to generate power has increasingly been diminished, starting with the solar obscuration when I first moved here and first set up this solar home and began to realize I was losing massive amounts of my solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were emitting, which could not be condensation, which was not condensation. This is what led me into this battle so many years ago, a battle I never, ever wanted to face. When I began testing, as I've stated many times, for those who know the history of how I embarked on this arduous journey, I began testing for climate engineering materials in my precipitation, which proves they were in the air column. I did not want to find them there, but I did. In ever-escalating amounts, starting with aluminum, and researching the CARB California Air Resources Board's study on the metals migrating from China. Aluminum is not amongst those metals, which means it has to be a localized source. It leads right back to climate engineering, primary element in climate engineering patents. Didn't want to be in this battle. Never been an activist, not politically oriented. But how does one turn away from this when you know the future of your children depends on this, of all children? All of us have an obligation to take a stand at this most critical time. How's the climate doing overall? How bad is it? Is the severity of the situation being acknowledged from official sources? Increasingly, the answer is yes, though not because they want to tell us, but because it's becoming nearly impossible to hide. And as dire as some of the headlines I'm about to cover sound, the actual immediacy and gravity of the situation is far worse still. From the UK Guardian and other sources, collapse of civilization is a near certainty within decades. That's actually a quote from Paul Ehrlich. From the report, 50 years after the publication of his controversial book, The Population Bomb, biologist Paul Ehrlich warns overpopulation and overconsumption are driving us over the edge. No, we're not heading over the edge. We're over the edge. Been over that again and again. You can't just put the brakes on once you've crashed the guardrail and are free-floating through the sky on the way to the bottom. We're over the edge. The question is now, can we salvage anything? Can anyone survive this trip to the bottom of the canyon? Perhaps that's still up to us. And isn't that worth fighting for? Even if the former paradigm of the fossil fuel fiesta, in the words of James Kunstler, can't be maintained, can we still salvage something? And if so, isn't that worth fighting for? And the answer is, of course, yes. Another headline from multiple sources. UN Climate Summit, COP24, that's the climate summit, warns of, quote, collapse of our civilizations. From that report, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres opened the climate summit in Poland on Monday with a dire warning to world leaders. Act now to combat rising temperatures or there will be catastrophic consequences. Let's stop there for a moment. First, there already are catastrophic consequences. And second, does any rational human being believe that with militaries around the world, governments around the world knowing this is happening, it's occurring now, do we think that they would possibly sit around and wait for the population to ask them to intervene with the climate when they've been using weather for a weapon on the record for 70 years, experimenting with the climate for 70 years? It's blatantly, obviously visible going on in our skies for anyone who can disconnect from the matrix programming and trust what they can see with their own eyes. Obviously going on. So it's not just anthropogenic activity in a general sense that's pushed us over the edge. The attempt to intervene with the climate, mathematically likely the biggest factor of all, but not the only factor. I have to stress that every single time I say this, because too many people construe when I say that climate engineering is the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all, that does not mean it's 80 or 90% necessarily at all. It just means that of all the slices to the pie of anthropogenic activity, climate engineering would have to be the single greatest disrupting factor. But that does not negate all the other forms of anthropogenic activity. Every form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet is a problem. How could it not be a problem? And how can people still try to convince themselves, again, that somehow cutting down the forest, paving the planet, poisoning the oceans has no effect, that only climate engineering has effect? And that's simply not true. We need to get past that. If we're to unite the tribes, and this is why it's important, we must build bridges with academia. We must coax academia out of the shadows, help them to find their courage, help them to join us in this battle. And that can only be done with the rational acknowledgement of, yes, we recognize that we have been very poor stewards of the planet, but climate engineering, being the epitome of insane human activities, must be acknowledged. It must be acknowledged. It must be exposed. It must be halted. But we must stand on credible data if we're to have any chance of doing that. Continuing with this report, Guterres pleaded with countries to reduce their 2010 emission levels by 45% by the year 2030 and to set a goal to release a net zero emissions by 2050, recalling consequences laid out in the 700-page report written by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. Without drastic action, the planet on its pace to warm an additional 2 to 3 degrees by the year 2100. This may sound dire to some people. This is a report of total disinformation. Total disinformation. The situation we face is exponentially worse and more immediate than anything these people state. The IPCC has been used for a tool by the power structure to pacify not to alarm, but to pacify the populations. And those who still claim that the IPCC is trying to be an alarmist in this equation, that couldn't be further from the truth. The IPCC doesn't even recognize, acknowledge, or consider feedback mechanisms on the climate, which are in total runaway mode right now, like the atmosphere filling with methane that's thawing and releasing from formerly frozen deposits, Siberian tundra, the Arctic Ocean. This is covering the planet like a layer of glass right now. We won't be here in 2100 or 2050 or perhaps likely even 2025, at least most won't be on the current course. And I cannot stress this enough. This is the non-linear nature of our equation. And for all those, again, if you're rolling your eyes and walking away because this is just simply too impossible to try to believe, I'm only asking for you to actually investigate. Investigate all the things I've been over in this broadcast over and over. Species die-off, species extinction, disintegration of the ozone layer, dying of the oceans, dying of the forest. It's happening at exponential rates. This is a non-linear equation. Please, please understand that. So take these reports with a grain of salt in the opposite direction of what most choose to believe. It's far worse than these reports state. Another headline, this one from PhysOrg and other sources. This new report, further confirmation of the road we're on, with climate engineering, again, further fueling the demise of our once thriving planet. Climate engineering is completely malevolent. There is no benevolence in climate engineering. It is simply ultimately about power and control, and part of that is masking the severity of what's unfolding from the population for as long as possible, exercising weather warfare, many, many agendas being carried out. Here's the headline from PhysOrg, Grim Tidings from Science on Climate Change. From this report, scientists monitoring Earth's climate and environment have delivered a cascade of grim news this year. The number of species is declining from 100 to 1,000 times faster than only centuries ago, which was already increased, which means the planet has entered a, quote, mass extinction event. Only the six in the last half a billion years. Here's where the lies start. One-fifth of species are affected. Now, let's consider that we lost 60% of wildlife in the last 40 years alone. How can only one-fifth of species be affected? This is absolutely absurd. So we still have academia pulling punches. That's the only way they can retain their jobs and get this information published. But they need to come clean completely. They need to band together, stand up together so that they can't be shut down and tell the full truth, not a half-truth, tell the whole truth. Speaking of that, from truthout.org, this headline and article that, again, unfortunately, is not disclosing the full truth. Here's the headline. In the face of extinction, we have a moral obligation. That report states this. Climate change-driven changes across this realm are becoming more dramatic with each passing month. A recently published study showed that due to increasing warmer temperatures, climate change has become an, quote, escalator to extinction. The catastrophic impacts of runaway climate change, it's worse than that. It's worse than runaway climate change. We face an abrupt climate collapse already unfolding. This article states this too, that runaway climate change is already upon us. We must all consider how to use our time and energies most wisely and carefully as we face down the most monumental test our species has experienced. Still, no acknowledgement of the climate engineering factor. I state again for the record, there could be no legitimate discussion of the state of the climate without first and foremost acknowledging climate engineering. No legitimate discussion about climate engineering without first and foremost acknowledging the engineered cool downs using chemical ice nucleating elements. And I have communicated with one of the primary authors from this site, truthout.org. He knows about climate engineering, but has so far chosen to ignore it. And that's not okay. It's not okay. I'll get to more of the climate engineering deniers in a moment. From the UK Guardian and other sources, yet another report on the same theme, Portrait of a Planet on the Verge of Climate Catastrophe. From that report, as the UN sits down for its annual climate conference this week, many experts believe we have passed the point of no return. There's no question about that. Not mathematically speaking, not scientifically speaking. We passed the point of no return perhaps two decades or more ago. Now the question is, can we salvage anything? And not if we continue to hit the accelerator as we're heading toward the brick wall in front of us. That's not how you salvage something. You at least try to hit the brakes. But humanity's not trying to hit the brakes. They're adjusting the radio station and hitting the accelerator. That's the definition of true insanity, and that's the state we're in at the moment for most of humanity, especially in the first world nations. From ABC News and numerous other sources, this headline report from the other side of the world. Queensland heat wave smashes Bureau of Meteorology November records. The report states this: if you thought summer had started early in Queensland this year, you were right, with temperatures hitting as high as the upper 30s and 40s last month, sending records tumbling. The report continues to state this: the heat wave that has been gripping the state for the last several days smashed monthly records. Another headline from businessinsider.co.za. This new report from the other side of the world as well. Record-breaking fires have reached, quote, catastrophic levels in Australia. How many Americans know that? They're not being told, because Americans might start to connect the dots. What's going on? Last summer, we had Sweden, Finland, Norway, Canada, Alaska, BC, California burning to the ground. Now the other side of the world has its turn. People would connect the dots, so our media entertains and distracts with endless political theater. We have to rise above that. From this report, Australia's northeastern region of Queensland is experiencing, quote, unprecedented heat waves and record-breaking wildfires. For the first time in history, fire danger in Queensland, first time in history, has been rated at, quote, catastrophic, the highest possible level on the Queensland government's warning scale. Quote, we have never, ever in the state been in this situation before, Queensland Fire and Emergency Services Commissioner Katrina Carroll told the Associated Press. The report finishes with this statement: extreme weather brings the devastating impact of human-caused climate change into focus. I need to stop there and correct the record. Yes, the planet's warming. Yes, all forms of human activity that contribute to it matter. And by the way, we're warning at the mathematical equivalent of the thermal energy released in 4 to 5 Hiroshima bombs per second. Per second. Please look that up, and you'll see the science statistics on that thermal energy equivalent. But that being considered, again, a warming planet must have more rain overall, unless there's a factor we're not being told about, and that factor is climate engineering. In the case of the wildfires, the single greatest causal factor, absolutely, positively, verifiably, is climate engineering, cutting off precipitation. Search this. Geoengineering will create drought. Search this subject. It can't not create drought. When you fill the atmosphere with light scattering particles that decimate convection, evaporation, drought is an ultimate consequence. We know this from volcanic eruptions like Pinatubo that blew in 1992. That year, from that one incident, caused 1992 to be by 50% the lowest rainfall year ever recorded to that date. Geoengineering is further adding to that equation. So when they blame the drought-stricken areas that are now burning to the ground on just climate change without acknowledging climate engineering, that's criminal, absolutely criminal. And we need academia to find their courage, band together, stand up, and tell the full truth. Final statement from this report. Authorities and scientists are warning that much of the Great Barrier Reef, the largest living ecosystem on Earth, could be significantly damaged due to the region's extreme weather. High-pressure heat domes created by ionosphere heaters are a huge part of this equation, and it breaks my heart to hear about the Barrier Reef because I've been there. Two extensive expeditions when the reef was still intact, and it grieves me beyond words to know that so much is dead. And even worse, a much larger ecosystem around Australia, the kelp forests, 90% gone. Our population has no idea how severe our situation is. Oceans around the globe are in unimaginably dire condition. They are dying, and you can't just shut this off. There's this new report to consider from numerous sources also. Greenland ice sheet melt-off is off the charts compared with past four centuries. From that report, from the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, surface melting across Greenland's mile-thick ice sheet began increasing in the mid-19th century, then ramped up dramatically during the 20th and early 21st centuries, showing no sign of abating, according to a new research article published December 5, 2018 in the Journal of Nature. The study provides new evidence of the impacts of climate change on Arctic melting and global sea level rise. Quote, melting of the Greenland ice sheet has gone into overdrive. As a result, Greenland melt is adding to sea level more than any other time during the last 3.5 centuries, if not thousands of years. Now, let's stop there because, again, no acknowledgement of climate engineering, no acknowledgement of the fact that climate engineering is the single greatest contributing factor to the wildfires. Again, this is not to negate other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. I'm not saying that. We've been horrible stewards of our planet. But back to the wildfires, back to the climate engineering link, back to the soot that goes into the atmosphere that provides some temporary cooling for some regions that the climate engineers seem to be trying to take advantage of at the cost of, as I've always stated, a worsened overall warming. Pounding the nails in our collective coffin to try to mask the situation. temporarily, so all the soot from those fires settles down on the polar ice, making it dark, making it melt faster. All these particulates and the forests that incinerate, adding tremendously to the overall greenhouse gas buildup. All this creates a cascading scenario of feedback loops that further fuel the equation. Final statement from this report: from a historical perspective, today's melt rates are off the charts, and the study provides the evidence to prove this. Moving on, from multiple sources, this new report: when the rivers and wells run dry, sewage water is the alternative. Just to give an example of how desperate humanity will soon become, El Paso to drink treated sewage water due to climate change and drought. Again, climate engineering nowhere in the equation, not allowed. Today, El Paso is ready to take the next step in expanding its water portfolio. It is building a closed-loop system that will treat sewage water and turn it directly into drinking water. Boy, what a joy. Among water professionals, it's called direct potable reuse or advanced purification. How many people really are going to feel very good about that? Just the beginning. From France24.com and other sources, this disturbing but not surprising report: U.S. approves... Let's get to the environment right now, is where this is going. This is truly disturbing. U.S. approved seismic tests despite dolphin whale concerns. The U.S. government took a big step toward opening oil and gas drilling in the Atlantic Ocean by approving seismic aerogun tests that experts warn are harmful to dolphins and whales. As I reported, the whale beachings last week still going on right now. Is it any wonder that the ocean is dying, completely dying, while the absolutely insane quest is... pick the last meat off the bones of the planet continues, as I covered in the beginning of this broadcast. The report goes on to say this: last year, the president signed an executive, this is Donald Trump, signed an executive order to expand offshore drilling and ordered federal agencies to fast-track permits for seismic airgun blasting. Environmental groups have staunchly opposed the use of seismic airgun blasting, which research has shown causes loud, far-traveling noise in the oceans that disrupts marine life, including fish and sea turtles. So the last move would be to open vast offshore area from New Jersey to Florida to underwater mapping for fossil fuel exploration for the first time in decades. I know how loud noises are under the water because I've been underwater at night diving in cave areas when there was an earthquake, and it is unimaginably loud. You can't imagine how well water carries sound. Whales can communicate for over 1,000 miles in distance. This will decimate them. They're already being decimated. In fact, let's clean out the closet on the full extent of insanity being carried out by the current power structure puppet in the White House. And for those who will refuse to listen to the verifiable facts I'm about to cover, willfully blind support of any actors in the power structure's political theater of the absurd, regardless of their political stripe, is not rational. To those that care about verifiable facts, please continue to listen. First, in summary, the criminal cabal that masquerades as the U.S. government is not about to risk any reduction of their stranglehold on power, even if it means killing the entire web of life in the process. Climate engineering, aka weather warfare, is their crown jewel weapon for countless reasons. Not only has weather warfare been used to topple countries around the world without their populations even realizing they were at war, climate engineering has been used to mask the true extent of climate collapse from populations that did not really want to know the truth in the first place. To be clear, the climate engineering insanity is being radically ramped up by our criminal government, not scaled back. The policy of loot, plunder, and pillage till the brutal bitter end continues to expand. Here's some very specific examples to consider. The U.S. continues to be the world's largest WMD manufacturer, weapons of mass destruction, selling hundreds of billions in weapons to criminal governments around the world, including the Saudi regime of tyranny and terror. What other assaults on the environment are being waged? Consider this series of reports. NOAA greenlights seismic airgun blasts for oil and gas drilling. I just covered that. NOAA cancels rule to protect whales from fishing nets. Another one. First offshore oil wells approved for the Arctic. Another. These are all recent, by the way, under this administration. U.S. pushes to end children's climate change suit. Another. EPA to disband air pollution review panel. Another. EPA repeals methane rules. Methane covering the planet right now like a layer of glass. Another. EPA loosens regulations on toxic air pollution. Another. Trump EPA unveils plan to nullify federal rules on coal power plants. Another. Current administration announces plan to weaken fuel economy rules. Another. Current administration officials propose rollbacks of Endangered Species Act rules. Another. Current administration cuts NASA climate monitoring program. Not that I have any love for NASA, but the point is still there. Another, current administration FEMA expels climate change from strategic plan. Another, Trump proposes cuts to climate and clean energy programs. Why? Because they're doubling down on geoengineering. Been over that again and again. Another, climate change websites censored under Trump. Geoengineeringwatch.org certainly being censored, completely banned from Google, as I've stated. Another, current administration drops climate change from its list of national security threats. Another, current administration Interior Department proposes largest ever oil and gas lease auction. Another, current administration poised to scrap clean power plan. Another, current administration mining health study halted. Climate advisory panel disbanded. Another, current administration revokes flood standards accounting for sea level rise. Just sweep it under the rug. That's what's going on. And another, current administration budget proposes steep cuts for the environment. A few more. Current administration dismisses science advisors. Another, streams reopened to mining waste. Another, fossil fuel CEO becomes chief diplomat. No surprise. Only two more. Current administration opens door to dangerous fracking in northern Arizona. And one more. Current administration officials open door to fracking in California. Let's poison what groundwater we have left. What a great idea. I'll stop there as I don't want to spend the entire broadcast on the loot, plunder, and pillage headlines. But in closing, consider this new report from Science Daily and other sources. U.S. groundwater in peril. Potable supply much less than thought. From that report, many rural areas and parts of the U.S. rely exclusively on groundwater for both agriculture and domestic use. Drilling deeper wells may not be a good long-term solution to compensate for increasing demands on groundwater because there is potential for contamination of deep, fresh, and brackish water in the areas where oil and gas industry injects wastewaters from fracking into or close proximity to the aquifers. What a circus of insanity. Total insanity. All to fuel the military-industrial complex until there's nothing left. And to cap all this off, let's consider what the current occupant of the White House recently stated about the environment. He said this, that it was, quote, record clean. That's what he said. What a blatant, glaring lie of unimaginable proportion. And for those who think a criticism of Trump is somehow support of Hillary Clinton, whom I can't even stand to look at, or Al Gore, the hypocritical criminal, no, that's not the case. Get over dichotomous thinking. Criticism is just and due, and all of these individuals that I've just named are all part of the power structure, all part of the political theater of mass distraction while the world is completely dismembered, the meat picked off the bones. Again, the swamp isn't being drained, for the record. It continues to be filled. And for the record, the current administration has appointed an unprecedented amount of Council of Foreign Relations members and billionaires to his cabinet. On the current course, our entire biosphere is collapsing into a lifeless, toxic wasteland. Many ask me why I'm covering headlines like those that I just went over. Some tell me I should stick to climate engineering. To such requests, here's my reply. I've been over this before. I will cover any and every critical issue that most impacts our collective futures. And that most needs to be covered. And next, anyone that can't see the connection between all the headlines I just covered and climate engineering has their eyes wide shut. The all-out assault against the environment and climate engineering are completely connected. The power structure continues to radically ramp up the climate engineering operations as a psychotic form of mitigation for its policy of total environmental, again, loot, plunder, and pillage. So that I don't omit the other side of the divide, the so-called environmentalist organizations, many of which are actually receiving massive donations from power structure entities like the Rockefeller Foundation, all of which are displaying incomprehensible hypocrisy by their ignoring of the single most environmentally destructive factor of all, climate engineering. Why would anyone who claims to care about the environment support any so-called environmental group that is blatantly ignoring the ongoing geoengineering onslaught? This includes all major environmental organizations. Let's take this a step further. Who are the so-called scientists that are most actively involved in disinformation campaigns to cover up climate engineering by their criminal denial of the ongoing geoengineering operations? Let's name them. Let's start with scientist Guy McPherson, scientist Gernot Wagner, scientist Douglas McMartin, scientist Ken Caldera. If you want to know more about these individuals. Search geoengineeringwatch.org and their individual names. Take the time to contact them and let them know what you think of their part in the criminal climate engineering cover-up. Perhaps recruit others to help in the effort of calling them out and exposing them, but do it peacefully and professionally. That's the approach that can help us in this fight. The storm of biosphere and societal collapse is, again, it's already unfolding at blinding speed. We would be wise to keep our cupboards full and our eyes to the horizon. Mass starvation is already unfolding. From the Middle East Eye and other sources, this expose of ever-worsening U.S. governmental criminality. First, Pompeo vows U.S. will keep aiding Saudis in Yemen despite of fur famine. Let's start with this. U.S. Secretary of State also reiterates there is no direct evidence the Saudi Crown Prince ordered the murder of journalist Khashoggi. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? It's all about weapon sales, and they're not about to stop. That's the bottom line. In regard to Yemen, UNAID Chief Mark Lowock has warned that Yemen is, quote, on the brink of major catastrophe. No, it's already unfolding. As the world body pushes for peace talks in the impoverished and war-racked country, speaking from a group of 20 in Buenos Aires, Pompeo acknowledged that the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, where millions are at risk of starvation, U.S. Secretary Mike Pompeo vowed Saturday that the United States would continue supporting Saudi Arabia's military campaign in Yemen, in spite of rising outrage over the kingdom. They don't care. The current occupant of the White House fully supports the Saudi regime of terror. And for the record, the Clinton crime family would have done exactly the same. So would the Bushes. It's good for the business of selling weapons of mass destruction to the brutal dictatorships like Saudi Arabia that slaughter civilians. For those that still believe the true controllers of the U.S. government care about them any more than they do the Yemenis, the Palestinians, the Iraqis, the Afghans, the Rwandans, or countless other nations and peoples that have been decimated in the name of U.S. interest and U.S. empire, think again. They don't care about you any more than they care about any of those I just mentioned. Mass starvation, again, is on the horizon for billions. If nuclear holocaust does not do the job first. Question, how many will roll their eyes and turn away from the frontline facts because they've already formed their opinions and they no longer want facts? Let's consider this quote. The most difficult subjects can be explained to the most slow-witted man if he has not formed an idea of them already. But the simplest thing cannot be made clear to the most intelligent man if he is firmly persuaded that he knows already, without a shadow of doubt, what is laid before him. That's from Tolstoy, 1897. My thanks to Gail from Canada for bringing this quote to my attention, how true it is. How many in our society blindly wave their flags, trying to convince themselves that blind, unquestioning support for the empire that is actually oppressing them is patriotism. In fact, such blind and irrational support for one's own suppressor is a form of Stockholm syndrome. It is not patriotism, it is tyranny. Consider the deeper point of Tolstoy's nugget of wisdom. Nothing has changed. It has only gotten far worse. Power structure programming and propaganda, fluoride, aluminum, mercury in vaccines, chemical-laden poisoned food, all is contributing to the very literal dumbing down of societies, societies that are being slow-killed. Even as I speak these words. To those who refuse to believe any of this, fine. I'm only asking for you to investigate. And I'm stating this, if you don't believe it now, you will soon. Wait and see. Question, when will we, all of us together, make the decision to face the gathering storm head on? When will we collectively look past the power structure political theater of mass distraction? When will we look past the absurdly false paradigm of left, right, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative? It's programmed idiocy. That's all it is. When will we stand together in our efforts to pull back the curtain and expose the insanity behind it? When will we collectively come to the conclusion that life is not about acquiring McMansions, new cars, smartphones, or going on luxury cruises? Cruises that dump all their trash and refuse into the ocean. While the biosphere collapses along with any hope of any future for any of our children. Solace, true unbreakable solace, exists only in an undeniable sense of moral purpose. Purpose that cannot be rationally argued from any perspective. How can adopting a purpose of devoting all the effort and energy we can spare to fighting for the future of our children and the web of life be rationally argued? It can't. What higher calling could we possibly have? Time is not on our side. We, all of us, must make every single day count. Waking the masses to what is unfolding is the first and most critical leap in the right direction. Help us to sound the alarm. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. Until next week, this is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org.